For that, it is good to be with you this morning and share with you. Been a while since I've been here. Brother, I'm going to lay your music right back in. Been a while, but the Lord has blessed us, and we're thankful to be here. One of my favorite places to be and preach the Word of God in this place. I had to get used again to looking all around. Got a little church I preach at now, about yay big, you know. You put one section over here in the little church, but it's blessing. Brother, music great. We enjoy the music and worship together and be a part of that and what God is doing in this place. You know, there's some of you that's gone on to be with the Lord recently. Some of it has already been mentioned this morning. You know, I get jealous of those folks that go on behind me, ahead of me. I almost get jealous, you know. And I thought about heaven a good bit. You know, what I think the best part of heaven is, other than seeing Jesus Christ, is that we don't have to contend with the devil anymore. So that's a blessing there. And so I hope you came expecting to get something today. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'll be participating in a funeral in Wagerville. A dear friend of mine, Brother George Walker, had him in church in Jackson years ago. And he always said I'd bury him. But you know what I remember about Brother George was he'd come to church and he said, "Brother Jim, I came expecting something today." He said, "There are some that say, I didn't get nothing out of church." And he said, "Well, Brother Jim, they didn't come expecting anything out of church." So I hope that you came expecting to get something this morning. Because if you did, God is going to give you something. And if he hadn't already, if I said if you blessed or hadn't been blessed, it's broken by now. So it's to do it. But take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, the next to the last book in the Bible, about a page. It depends on how you're printed. It may be one page or just a little bit over one page. But in the book of Jude, we'll be reading some of the first part and the last part of this great chapter here. And I've read Jude and read Jude and read Jude and just recently preached on Jude and have taken that, what I preached at the church up there, and I've added some more to it. And there's just so much right here in this one little book that's here for us to glean, for us to touch our hearts and to touch our lives. So if you have the book of Jude open, we'll begin reading at verse 1 and we'll read through verse 5 and then we'll skip down to verse 20. It begins, he said, "Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who are called, loved by God the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Dear friends, although I was eager to write with you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write and exhort you to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. For certain men were designated for this judgment long ago, have come to stealth, and they are ungodly, turning the grace of our Lord into promiscuity, and denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Now skip down to verse 20. He says, "But you, dear friends, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, expecting the mercy that our Lord Jesus for eternal life. Have mercy on some who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. On others have mercy in fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all times, now and forever. Amen." May we pray together. Father God, we come to your throne. We're thankful for the worship we've had. We thank you, Lord, that we've lifted your name up in song and praise this morning. And Father, now we have opened up the Word of God, Father. And God, I pray that as we open the Word of God, that your Holy Spirit would go before me and that he would speak to these, your people that are gathered here this morning, Father, that you would speak to their heart. Lord, hopefully they've come expecting a word from you, Father. And God, I just pray that you'd use me as that instrument, that you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary this morning, that Jesus and only Jesus would shine forth. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We look at the book of Judas, and some people say, well, who was Jude? That's usually the first question. Who was Jude or who was Judas? Those names are interchangeable there. I read across a story about a French taxi cab driver who picked up his passenger, and he carried him through town, and when he got there, the man gave him a very healthy tip for being his taxi cab driver. And the driver says, thank you, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And he said, Sir Arthur looked at him, was amused, but and he said to him, how did you know me? And he said, well, I read in the newspaper that the famous author of the English detective Sherlock Holmes was coming to Paris from the south of France. And I deduced, because of your clothes, that you was English, and I observed your haircut, and I observed your tanned face, and from a calculated guess, that's who you had to be. And the guy, Sir Arthur was very impressed by that. And then he says, and of course it helped that your name is on your luggage tag. The name on the label says it all. Now you look at Judas, there's at least seven different Judases that's listed in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 3, it lists there's a Judas that is an ancestor of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 5, there was a Galilean who was named Judas. Of course, Judas Iscariot. We're very familiar with Judas Iscariot. Not you, when we hear Judas, that's the name that usually comes to our mind first and foremost. There was a Judas in Damascus that Paul lodged with. That's in the ninth chapter of Acts that Paul spent some time with. Or Jude Barsabbas in Acts chapter 15. He was the one when the Jerusalem council met and they decided to let the Gentiles, which is you and I. I'm thankful that God, the gospel is for the Gentiles, because there may be a Jew in here, but most of us probably were Gentiles. And he was the one that delivered the news that they opened the doors of the church to the Gentile people. And then there was a Judas that was the son of James in Luke chapter 16. And then there's the Judas who is probably the Judas that is a writer of this book, who the Judas that was the half-brother of Jesus Christ himself. He is the one. And when I look at that, most of the scholars agree with that, that he is the one, that that's the one. And look at that, and it amazes me that he starts out this book and he doesn't say, hi, I'm Judas, I'm the half-brother of Jesus is writing this book. You know, so many times we want to tag on to somebody else. So many times we want to, we want to ride on somebody else's coattail. Judas didn't do that. What Judas said, look what he said. I'm Judas. I'm a slave of the Jesus Christ. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. That's probably that servanthood or that bond servant. He's one that has chosen to follow Jesus Christ. It is a choice that you make to follow Jesus Christ. Now, servants would serve maybe a master, and they would spend some time serving that one master. And when it came time for them to be freed, they could make a choice to stay with that master. And they call that a bond servant. And so that bond servant, they would actually go out and pin his earlobe to the doorpost, signifying that he belonged to that. Even though he's free, he's made that choice to stay with that master. And as Christians, we make a choice to follow Jesus Christ. We make a choice to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what Judas, he said, I am a choice. I have made my choice. Even though I'm the half-brother of Jesus, even though I'm kin to Jesus Christ, I've chosen to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior in my life. And just as we have to do that same thing ourselves, we have to make that choice to choose Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And it won't happen unless you make that choice. It's a free choice that you have to make. I can't make it for you. Your mom and daddy can't make it for you. Your husband, your wife, your children, nobody can make that for you. You make that choice to follow and be who Jesus Christ has called you to be. And then he uses some other word. He describes some Christians there in verse 1. He said, to those who are called and loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. They're called by God. Listen, my friend, you can't come to Jesus unless you've been called by God. You can't come to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life and begins to convict you of your sin and begins to show you that Jesus Christ can forgive you of your sins and that you need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life. So if you're a Christian today, you've been called by God. If you're not a Christian today, God is calling you to be a Christian. And so he described them calling by God to be a Christian. And as a Christian, he's calling you to service. He's calling you to be one of his servants and to serve him and to be who God wants you to be. And so he says that they're called by God. He says they're loved by God. My friend, God loves you more than you can ever know. You'll never know how much God loves you. And then he says you're kept by Jesus Christ. As Christians, we're kept by him. Jesus said he'd never leave us or forsake us. He is there. And once we have been sealed in that power and in that strength. But Judas also talks about his friend. Look at verse 3. He said, now, dear friends. He called them in friend. He said, dear friend. And he's offering something to him. He said, dear friend, I was eager to write to you about a common salvation, but I found it necessary to write and exhort you to contend for the faith. Now, we didn't read that center part of this chapter, but what happens there is that he goes on to talk about the fact that the church is being infiltrated. They were all kind of different groups that came into the church, and there were all kind of different people that tried to add to salvation or take away from salvation. And you know what? That's nothing new today, is it? The devil today is still trying to infiltrate the church just like he tried to infiltrate the New Testament church. He is still doing that. It breaks my heart to see a church who turns away from the basic doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ, who turn away from the doctrines of the Bible itself. And I know that. I know of churches. I can name some right now. Unfortunately, our daughter and them got into a church that got away from that, and they went the wrong way on the issue of homosexuality. And so they had to leave. Our daughter and son-in-law, they left that church because they were teaching untruths. And they're not the only one. There's many, many of our churches that have been infiltrated, and they're not teaching and preaching the pure gospel of the Bible that we taught. They're not staying true to the doctrines of the Holy Word of God. And it just breaks my heart that this is happening. You know, the world goes to a point of what some people call the social gospel. Whatever makes you feel good is what we'll do today. You know, it doesn't always feel good to follow Christ. Sometimes it hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes it's tough to stay in the straight and narrow way. But that's what he's calling us to do. And that's what we as believers need to be. That's what we as the body of Christ, the church, we need to be that person that stands there and not give in to the whims of the world. You know, the sad thing is that the world has influenced the church more than the church has influenced the world today. And so we need to be that church, that body of believers that moves and works and makes a difference in the world. And so that's what happens in that center part. But then he gets down to verse 20. He begins to give us some words of encouragement as he closes out that chapter. He says in verse 20, he said, be there, dear friend. He called them their friends. He said, building yourselves up in a most holy faith. Building yourselves up. You're to act as moral, responsible agents of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to be the ones that's supposed to be building up. You're the ones that's supposed to be that part. That's our responsibility, to build up the faith of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we have that responsibility to build your own faith, to build the faith that you have and to solidify your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And church as a body, we have that as well. You know, Vane and I have been talking to several folks, and Dr. Tu, who was with you the other day, and I'm thankful for the work of a great Christian man as Dr. Tu. What a blessing he is to work for. And we've talked about some of those things of how we're not teaching solid doctrine in our churches. How many of y'all remember training union? And y'all remember training union? Discipleship training? Those things, you know, some of that's gone by the wayside. But that's where we used to teach good, solid doctrine. That's where we taught what the Bible says. And so many times, we're not teaching good, solid doctrine in our churches today. You know why we lose children when they go, our teenagers, when they go to college? Because they're not standing on a solid foundation, because we failed to put them on a solid foundation. We failed to teach them, this is why you believe what you believe. And so somebody called them, died it, and boom, they're gone. We need to do it. And so what he's saying there, build yourself up on a solid foundation. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about building your house either on a solid rock or the sand. Which one is going to stand? The solid rock. That's what stands. And so here he starts out building yourselves up, and then he begins to tell us how to do that. He finished verse 20. He says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Look with me over in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 right quick. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18 says, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit and stay alert in this with all your perseverance and intercession for the saints. He says in chapter 5, verse 18, that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to be, our lives are supposed to be submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit. William Barclay made this statement in his commentary. He said, it is only when the Holy Spirit takes full possession of us that our desires are so cleansed and purified that our prayers are right. Let me read that for you again. You think about it. It is only when the Holy Spirit takes full possession of us that our desires are so cleansed and purified that our prayers are right. I may have said this when I was here before, but I don't know. Don't remember back that far. But let me tell you how to get your prayers answered. You want to have answered prayers? You live in the Spirit. You let God's Spirit have control of your life. And you surrender your life to the Holy Spirit. And the closer you get to Him, the more you're going to know how to pray the right way. You're going to know how to pray according to God's will because you know God's will, because God's Spirit is moving and working in your life, and it's something that you have to do every day. You don't come up here Sunday morning and say, God, fill me, Spirit, cleanse my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And so on Sunday morning, you get your tank full. We've had some good worship time. You hope you hear a good message, and you're stirred and you're moved, and you ask God for forgiveness and cleansing and ask His power to come into your heart and into your life. And then you take off and you don't do anything else till next Sunday morning. My friends, this is a daily event. Sometimes we don't realize that. I preached on the Holy Spirit last Sunday, and I said something like this, and Karen herself told me, she said, I didn't realize we had to do it every day. Well, sometimes you had to do it more than once a day. You know, you need to start out your day, whatever time, some point, you know, in the morning, if you don't need to vote, whatever, at least stop and pray and say, Lord, I need you to cleanse me. I need you to forgive me. I need your Spirit to fill me and lead me for this day. You may have to do it again at lunchtime or break time or any other time during the day that you need to do it. But he says that praying in the Holy Spirit, live in the power and the strength of God's Holy Spirit. Let Him fill you. And what else he says there in verse 21, he goes on and says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Look back to John chapter 15 right quick. John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. It says there, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in His love. We're to remain in God's love. Now, he's really not talking about here so much God's love. Now, we spoke about God's love just a minute while ago. But let me tell you this. There's nothing in your life that you can do to cause God to love you any more than what He loves you right now. There's nothing in your life that you can cause God to love you any less. Because God loves you with everything. His love is unchanging. He loves you with everything there is in His life. And so He's not talking about God's love is constant. It never changes, and you can't do anything to make it change. More or less. You can't do that. Well, he's talking about our love for God. We control our love towards God. You control how much you love God. That's under your control. It's not under His. I mean, He wants you to do that, and He gives you the will and the power to do that, but you got to decide how much you love God. And we have to give back to God that perfect love, give back to God that obedience that He wants in your heart and your life. And then it comes to the point where God's love and your love so intertwined together that there's not a difference in it, because your love is God's love when you surrender your heart and life to them. And he goes on, he said, and expecting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life, expecting that, waiting expectantly for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. When do we expect Him to come back? May not make it out of this service. That'd be great, wouldn't it, Brother AJ? We didn't make it out of this service. Be great. I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? I hope you expect Him. We'll see. Expecting to go see Him. You don't know. My friend I talked about earlier today, he was elderly, and he loved Him. But you know what? He celebrated his birthday on Wednesday. And 2 o'clock Thursday morning, he dropped dead. He went to check on his wife and dropped dead. He wasn't expecting God to come get him at that exact moment, but that's what happened. Because you don't know. We don't know when He's coming. We don't know. You know, unless Jesus Christ comes in disguise, we're all going to die and go to meet the Lord. And what a great and glorious time that may be. We've already mentioned this morning in that song service that may do. But that's when we receive the full mercies of God's grace and all that God has given to us. I look forward so much to seeing that. I look forward to seeing my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I look forward to seeing the nail scars in His hand and realizing the total mercy that God has done for me and the grace that He's bestowed upon me, and to realize what God has done for me through Jesus Christ, His Savior, expecting the mercies of God to move and work in your life. And he goes on, verse 22. He said, have mercy on some who doubt. Now the King James says, and some have compassion, making a difference. You know, some people have to be handled with kid gloves, aren't they? Some people walk around with their feelings right here on their shoulders, and you can knock them off real pretty quick. And you have to be kind and compassionate to those folks. You got to love them tenderly and love them graciously and be a part of it. They have that heart that bruises so easily. And he's saying here, you know, have mercy on them. Have mercy on those that doubt. Reach out to those people who have doubt. Reach out to those who haven't come to a full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and draw them in and have mercy on them and move with them. And then he moves on into verse 23, and he says, save others by snatching them out of the fire. There's somebody who had to read right opposite of that, isn't it? There's some people that, you know, you just have to be firm with. You have to be blunt with. Some people, that if you witness to them, you have to say, hey, if you don't trust Jesus, you're going to hell. There's a place for that. And there's a place to love them, as he said there. But you have to do that. You have to offend. Sometimes you need to offend somebody in order to show. I'd rather offend them and then find Jesus than not offend them and then go to hell, wouldn't you? So he says there, doing that. Save others. And when you lead them to Jesus Christ, that's exactly what you're doing. You're snatching them out of the fire of hell. Just like Brother Judas said here in this passage, you're snatching them out of the fires of hell itself when you lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, and hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Be careful that you're not influenced by the world. Be careful that you're not even, that idea of leaving the old life behind. You know, I was thinking about this, and it kind of relates. Y'all like Westerns? Gunsmoke? Y'all like that? Virginian? Some of those old good Western shows, they come on INSP. If y'all don't follow that channel there. No, Gunsmoke's on every day at dinner time. I watch it on I don't remember what channel that is, but anyhow, we watch Gunsmoke most every day. But you know, some of them old Westerns, you know, somebody would get sick. They get the fever, you know. All people, they would not go close to that house, not go out there. Don't bring that person with the fever. Don't go see that person with the fever. And a lot of times they would burn that house down, wouldn't they, to get rid of the fever. I thought about that. The coronavirus, I hope that doesn't apply to that, but we're fighting that. Times have changed tremendously. But that's what they did. They didn't have the vaccines and all that stuff like we had today. And so they burned that house. They got rid of all of that stuff that belonged to that person to get rid of the virus or the fever that they had. My friends, when we trust Jesus Christ, we got to burn the past and get rid of the past. Turn away from it. You remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? And he spoke there. They went to the grave and Jesus said, "Come forth, Lazarus." And Lazarus wrapped in grave clothes. Here he comes. Even his face is covered up. And he makes his way up there. And you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Unloose him. Set him free." You know what we as Christians are doing? We walk around like this. Because we still got all that sin on. And so we make our way through life like this. And God wants to free you. He wants to get rid of all that is in. He wants to take those burdens away from you and make you free again and get rid of your sins forever and ever. He said, as far as the east is from the west, he cleanses your sins and he throws them into the depths of the seas and he gets rid of them. And you got to get rid of them too, because he's already gotten rid of them. And free yourself in that. Hate that garment of the past. Hate that. And then he winds up the book with praise and adoration to God. Look what it says, "Now to him who is able." To him who is able. We get to stop right there, couldn't we? Because God is able. He's able to do whatever you need done. He's able to keep you from stumbling, keep you from falling. He's able to cleanse you of your sins. He's able to give you a home eternal and wipe away the death penalty that you have on your life. He's able. He's the only one that is able, because he's the only God. Verse 25 says, "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time." Before all time, now, today, and forever. He is able. Yes. My friend, he is able. Need we say any more? He is able. He's able to save you from your sins and to cleanse you. Many, many of you in this room, I know that Jesus is your Savior. I know that because I fellowship with you and talk with you and shared with you. But there may be one of you in here today that has never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You never asked Jesus in your heart. You may have been here and heard a million sermons. You may have been to church all your life. You may be the member of a church somewhere, this church or any other church. Well, let me tell you, church membership won't get you there. Only Jesus will get you there. And that's it. So in a moment, we'll issue an invitation. The invitation, number one, is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. To ask him into your heart and into your life as your Lord and Savior for the very first time. And we want to invite you to do that, Christians. Maybe you say, "Well, Brother Jim, you know," somebody's saying, "I'm not every day asking God to be my Lord every day. And I need to start doing that." Maybe you need to do that commitment. Maybe in a minute we have the invitation. You may want to come down here and pray at this altar or talk to myself or some of your fine deacons here and say, "Pray with me that I can do that." That I can do. You may just need I've learned this. You might just want to sit down where you're at and talk to God for a minute. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You may not feel like walking out here, but you just sit down where you're at and you just talk to God and get straight. Maybe there's some other decision. Maybe you need to be a part of this great church. This is a great church, I can tell you that. Yeah, this church has loved me beyond measure, me and my wife and my family. And I'm thankful for that. But in a minute, as we do that, let me just encourage you, if God is speaking to your heart about anything, you make it right before you go out those doors today. Father God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his power. We thank you, God, that you are able, Father. And God, we pray that if there's some soul in this church today that needs to trust Jesus Christ, that today would be that day of salvation. Maybe a child, maybe an adult, maybe a teenager, Father. But God, our prayer is that they would come to you. Christians, Lord, that need to make changes in their lives, I pray today they would do that. They would make a change in their life. Whatever you've spoken to them about, Father, that you would make that change in their life. And God, we just turn this time over to you, the most important time of this hour, Father. We turn it over to you. Lord, it's in the name of Jesus we pray.